Glory to God. God is good. Amen. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. Are we rolling live? It's working. Amen. We weren't sure with all the cell demand on cell phones and stuff. The internet is not exactly working, but praise the Lord for it working right now. Glory to God. And if not, we have we record it anyway. So praise the Lord. Welcome to church. Are you excited to be here tonight? Praise the Lord. Now, just in case anybody's out there trolling us, we have less than the recommended minimum. Praise the Lord! So we just basically have a bare bones crew here just to have so we can broadcast service. But glory to God! So the doors are not open. So even if you showed up, you wouldn't get in. Amen. But God still having us have church, and we're delivering the message through via the airwaves, the internet waves, somehow out there, man. We might just send it telepathically. I don't know. We're gonna get it out there. Glory to God. God wants us helped. Amen. You know, as we were in worship, or just before worship, there, I was thinking about how, you know, after there's a hurricane or something or some kind of major natural disaster or something like that, that people come in, they go back to their homes and they see what's standing. You know, they go back and they sift through and they see what's left. And you know, we're in the midst of the hurricane right now. We're in the midst of the storm, and it kind of feels like, okay, I wonder what's going to be rattled and shaken. But we know this, that you know, the rattling and the shaking doesn't stop the plan of God from going forward. Amen. And it just proves out what is fully attached. Amen. Glory to God. And you know, I'm starting to have the attitude in life in general that if something isn't fully attached, then sometimes you just got to let it go, you know, and not be sad about it. You know, my wife and I, many years ago, when the digital age was really coming to full flourish, you know, with the digital cameras and all this stuff. I think we had a one megapixel camera, glory to God, and we thought it was pretty awesome when they came out with a 1.5 megapixel camera. In case you didn't know, that wouldn't even barely take a picture of text now, glory to God. But at any rate, we had taken a bunch of pictures and of our kids, and we had years of pictures of our kids, and all of a sudden we had a computer virus, and that computer virus caused our computer to crash, and we lost everything. We didn't have it picked up or backed up or anything like that, and we were really sad, really, really, really sad, because we literally lost years of the boys' lives in picture form, and you know, it wasn't like we didn't have clouds and all that other stuff that you back up things on, you know. But I learned in that time, my wife and I both learned in that time, that sometimes you just, you know, you got to weigh what's worth hanging on to. We could have stayed perpetually sad about it, but we know this, that, you know, this life is a short time. Glory to God, and someday we'll be in heaven. And when we're in heaven, I'm sure that we'll have access to all the things that we missed out on here. Praise the Lord. And so I'm not worried about it. I'm going to stay in that past, you know. So many people get caught up and just stay in the past, but we're moving forward. And so the same thing, I've just endeavored to do the same thing in life. You know, I've been saying, and I really believe that this is true, that this whole thing that's going on in our nation is an opportunity for us to reevaluate and evaluate what we do. Amen. And of course, I don't know about you, but I know with me, I've been finding some truths about myself. I've been finding truths about Christianity. I've been finding truths about how we relate to Christianity. I've been finding truths about the church. I've been finding truths about faith. And I'm using this time not to be sad. In fact, I repented yesterday. You know, I was getting a little stir crazy from sitting at home and not doing much of anything. And I was complaining a lot about it. You know, and then I started to remember who my God was. Because I decided to get in the Word, and then the Lord started talking to me about, and you know, the Bible talks about being content, praise the Lord, and how important contentment is, amen? And so I started realizing that I was not being content. In fact, I was doing just the opposite of content, the exact opposite of content. And then I went back through my, you know, you guys know that I have this, I carry this little notebook with me, but this is, whenever God speaks to me about something, I write it down in here. And, you know, some of the last few things that He had spoken to me about were contentment. Praise the Lord. And so I realized, and I'd forgotten completely all about it, even though it was the last few things God had spoken to me. Amen. Pray. Well, praise God. I'm just human. And you know, but God was telling me about contentment and how my contentment, even before this, he was telling me that my contentment needs to be found in him and not things. My contentment needs to be found in him and not this life. Glory to God. And so I think a lot of Christians are going through the same shaking. Now they're going through the same revealing, come to Jesus moments. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, tonight's message is called Faith is His Way. Praise the Lord. And we are going to be talking about faith here tonight, but from a different perspective maybe than I've ever preached it, and only because I have never preached the subject of faith during a pandemic before. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And God has shown me some things, and I'm going to share them with you, and I believe they'll help you. You know, and I just wanted to tell you ahead of time, you're probably going to find during the midst of this message that some of the things I'm going to tell you and some of the things I'm going to point out, you might look at your own life and say, well, that's not me. Praise the Lord. I'm just warning you, because when I was getting this message, I was getting that about me. Amen. But I'm just going to warn you ahead of time, this isn't about getting you and thinking about what you're not or what you can't do. But this message is meant to encourage you to understand, listen, God is, now we don't believe that God sent this virus. In fact, we know, according to the word, that God doesn't send viruses. Amen. But one thing that I can tell you that I have been seeing is that this virus, and this is, some people might want to hang me after saying this, but this virus was necessary. Praise the Lord. It was necessary. And the reason it was necessary is because, you know, I was just telling, talking to John and Liz beforehand, and I was saying to them that, you know, it's easy to say and preach bold and to say that you got faith. It's easy to do that until you're put under pressure. It's easy to say you have faith until that faith is tested. Yeah. Now, I've been a bold preacher many times for many. And I typically preach boldly, but I've even found things in myself that when I'm put up against the test, praise God, hallelujah, I feel it. And my point in saying this is not to say that I'm lying. Of course, it's easy to preach under the anointing. It's easy to get stirred about something, but it's a whole nother thing to hold on to the truth. And that's exactly what the people of God have to do, is they have to learn to hold on to the truth. It is not just enough to hear the truth. It is not just enough to receive the truth. But we must hold on to the truth and not let it go. And refuse to let it go, no matter what anything else looks like. And that is really where we find what our faith is. Amen? Praise the Lord. True faith is to truly trust God. That's what true faith is. Now, it is a real popular Christian statement to say trust in the Lord. We trust God. Of course, we see it in Scripture, so it's not wrong to say that. But I have a feeling that many Christians don't know what it means to truly trust God. And I think that a lot of people are finding out right now. How do you know? How do you react? Praise the Lord. Truly trusting God is when you trust Him in all His methods, in all the things that He has commanded us to do, in all the ways that He has things out, and He says, trust me in this, praise the Lord. Truly trusting Him is when you adhere to those things, when you grab onto those things, and you say, I won't be moved. Nothing else is going to move me. Listen, praise the Lord. The Bible talks a lot about, you know, I've been studying a lot, like along with many Christians, studying and reading and meditating in Psalm 91. Praise the Lord. Psalm 91 is a wonderful psalm. It's all about God protecting you. That's where we get no plague come near our dwelling, that God's angels will keep our way and have charge over us, and all these wonderful things. Get all these wonderful truths about God protecting us and God bringing us through. And though the pestilence is stalking, it won't come near us, it won't hurt us, and all these things. But one of the things that I think we so often overlook about the 91st Psalm is the very beginning of it. In the very beginning of the 91st Psalm, and that's not what I'm preaching on here tonight, just the Lord brought it up to me. But the beginning of the 91st Psalm literally tells us to trust in God, that He who makes His dwelling place the most Messiah is the one who says, I trust in him. And not says it just arbitrarily, but says it from a place of faith. Someone who actually trusts in God. That's the one who is delivered. Amen. And so we see this, and we've adapted our services as we felt led to do and as we believed is right to do. But there is a difference between adapting services and running for the hills. Yeah. Amen. And there's a lot of churches, a lot of church people that have just simply run for the hills. Right. Now, listen, I am not opposed to adapting church services. Obviously, we're keeping people out of church tonight. Amen. There's so many people that I actually reached out to and I said, don't come tonight. Amen. And so we are making adaptations, but we don't leave people high and dry. We're not doing that. And we certainly don't leave the Word of God high and dry. We don't leave the local church high and dry. We know that now is the time, is the best time to be standing. That doesn't mean you can't be standing at home. And each person has to be convinced in their own heart what they need to do. But my point in saying this is that we can't just run for the hills. Christians, we can't just start acting like the rest of the world. See, the local church, one thing I have found is, and I think it's good, that there are measures that have been put in place that have told people to not meet in as big of groups and stuff like that, and not to congregate and all these things in big groups. I believe that that's good advice. Praise the Lord. But I don't believe that it's good advice to lump the church in with Walmart. I don't think it's a good thing to look at the church the same way that you do the local grocery store or the way that you look at anything else in life. The local church has got to be looked at differently. It's got to be pulled on differently. It's got to be upheld differently. And what I've found in this is that the people that are out in the world do not receive the church the way that they used to receive it. And that is a problem. That is one of the weaknesses that this has revealed. Amen. And the reason that they're not is because the church itself is not promoting itself the way that it used to. It is not promoting itself as the very power of God. Ministers aren't promoting themselves as speaking as the oracles of God. They're just reading off some script, some sermon that they picked up somewhere. They're not standing in the truth. They're not standing in the Word. And therefore, the power of God is not flowing. And it's not flowing because God doesn't want it to be flowing. It's not flowing because people aren't putting a draw. They're not putting a demand on it. Folks, they're not standing in faith. God said, if the just shall live by faith, praise the Lord. The just shall live by faith. So if you're just, then you must live by faith. Now, faith doesn't mean that you go out and act stupid. It doesn't mean that you just throw everything off to the side and say, oh, well, you know, there's, I don't know what I'm going to do, but or just do whatever I want to do. Faith doesn't say that either. But faith is standing up and being sure in the Lord, being sure that you're going through the other side, being sure that he's got your back no matter what. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. The just shall live by his faith, the word says. Yet if he has no faith, praise the Lord, he will not live God's life. And that's what we understand. The just shall live by faith. When it says live, obviously, there's a lot of people that don't live by faith. But those people aren't truly living. They're not living the life that God has provided. And so to go on further with that, unless you live in faith, you can still not live the life that God's provided. The faith in everything that God has said about what he said about living, what he said about how to live. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we're going to be people that live by faith. And we're going to start at Romans 8:14. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God has got good things. You know, praise the Lord. One of the things I love about the Lord is that he delivers what we need when we need it and how we need to hear it. And if we'll be people that will listen to him, if we'll be people that will hear him, praise the Lord, then we will be people that will always be free from the end destruction. That doesn't mean we'll be free from every opposition. It doesn't mean we'll be free from every trial, but it does mean that we will always come out on top. But we have to stick with the word. Amen. So Romans 8:14, glory to God, this is a scripture near and dear to my heart. You've heard it here many times. You'll hear it many more. Praise the Lord. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Praise the Lord. This does not mean if God leads you. God is leading us. The Bible has already told us. It doesn't say that. It says as many as are led. In other words, as many as that allow themselves to be led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. These are the ones that are the true children of God. The true children of God recognize God's voice, just like Jesus said that my sheep hear my voice. The true children of God listen to God's voice, and they do what God says to do. They follow where God says to go. Amen. They be who God says that they are. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Your sonship, praise the Lord, is proven in your trust in God. Praise God. You will not, if you do not trust God, you will not be led because you won't go where He said to go. You won't do what He said to do. Every commandment that God has given us, praise the Lord, every commandment that God has given us, that He has directed us on, it is our duty to live according to His commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do what I tell you to do. He said, don't tell me that you love me and don't do what I do. You prove that you love me by doing I said to do. Now, we are not saying that you are saved by works. We are not saying that you, but we know according to Ephesians that you are saved for works. You are saved for something. Amen. And the problem is, you know, I was getting this in my spirit today. I was getting this this concept of seeking connection and then supply. Praise God. Seeking connection and supply. And what the Lord was showing me, and I may preach a message on this in the near future, I don't know. But what the Lord was showing me is the first thing that we do when we come to church is we're seeking. Most people are seeking God for something. They're seeking something in life. They're seeking answers. They're seeking. Maybe they're just seeking God. They could be seeking a whole host of things. But that's how they come in. But how many know that when they come in, what matters is whether or not they make a connection? And you know if they make a connection by what happens next. If somebody comes in and they just keep seeking and keep seeking and keep seeking and keep seeking, they've never made a connection because they haven't found. And see, the God's plan is that we seek and then we find. And then once we find, we become a supply, or that we connect to that work and we start feeding that work. Now, of course, you know, feeding the work in all kinds of ways, that we bring our supply to the church, that we bring our supply to both financially and spiritually, that we bring our supply for others in the church, that we don't just come sit in the seats for us, but we come and sit in the seats for other people, that we say, my brothers and sisters in Christ need me to be faithful. The world needs me to be faithful, praise the Lord. And I start walking out the plan of God in my life, praise the Lord. And so the supply is many-fold, but it begins at that place. But there's a lot of people that come in, and I've seen many people that have come in over the years, that they come in seeking, then they leave seeking. They never make a connection, and therefore they never become a supply, and then God can never supply them. But that's a whole nother story. Praise the Lord, we're not preaching on that. For as many as are led, for as many as will allow themselves to be led by the Spirit of God, these are the true sons of God. Amen. Your trust in His power, His love, and His salvation. That's what that means. It's your trust in His power, His love, and His salvation. His power says that it doesn't matter what's going on in the world, I am immune to it, praise the Lord. It doesn't matter what's coming against me, I am immune to it. When I say immune to it, you know, it will not take me out. It will not end my life. Now, I am not saying that you go out there and find somebody with the coronavirus and start hugging and kissing on them, praise the Lord, just to show your faith, because that's called stupidity. That's not what we're called to do, and that's not faith. That's no more faith than anything else, because God given us direction on what is faith and what isn't faith. Faith has nothing to do. Faith has everything to do with trusting God. Jesus said that you don't tempt God, that you trust God, hallelujah, that you follow God. You don't test Him, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. So you must have trust in His power. You must understand that His power is real. Praise the Lord. How many churches preach about the power of God? How many churches on Sunday morning are going to preach about the power of God, that they're going to talk about God coming in and literally transforming somebody's life? And I don't mean just transforming a little thing here or there. I mean people who were lame are now walking. I mean people who were blind are now seeing. I mean people who were poor are now rich. I mean people who were bound are now set free. I'm talking about the real power of God. Hallelujah. Who's preaching the real power of God? Hallelujah. Or what about His love? His love, God's love. He said that His love, praise the Lord, His love is that we love one another. Glory to God. It's if we're not being loved to the world, if we're not showing God's love to the world, if we're not acting in love towards the world, well, praise the Lord, we can't stand on much faith, because we don't have much faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. And of course, his salvation is deliverance from all things. I said all things, amen? Praise the Lord. And so as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children. This is what qualifies you to be a child of God, amen? We must be people who are led. God wants to lead us. His Spirit is constantly leading us. In fact, Jesus made sure that that Spirit, that leading of the Spirit, was placed on the inside of us. And I was studying things out about that today, too, and getting excited and stirred about all kinds of things. The reason that most people don't, that they're not strengthened is because they know nothing about the Spirit. So a church that won't preach about the Spirit, the truth about the Spirit, what the Bible says about the Spirit, and teach people about this stuff are churches that won't be changed. There'll be full of people who are still broken and run for the hills as soon as something happens. But this is not the will of God. This is not the plan of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In Matthew 3:17, I'm just going to bring it up here. This was right after Jesus got baptized. Praise the Lord. It said, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Glory to God. Why was God well pleased with Jesus? Because Jesus followed God. He was spirit led. Everything that he did, he went into the wilderness and he was spirit led into the wilderness. Glory to God. Now, some people will say, well, I got to run from the wilderness. You got to run to what God wants you to do. Amen. And if he takes you to the wilderness, brothers and sisters, I've been in periods of time of wilderness. I'm in a wilderness, so to speak, right now. Currently, I'm in a wilderness. In fact, we are all in some kind of wilderness, praise the Lord. But I mean, even beyond that, I'm in a wilderness myself. But here's the thing that we know about the wilderness, is that sometimes you go into the wilderness, but when you go in with the right attitude, you'll come out with the right things. Amen. But you can go into the wilderness with the wrong attitude and come out with the wrong things. You can come out with the wrong outcome. Listen, we stand in the wilderness because God's Spirit leads us and guides us. Amen. Praise the Lord. But Jesus was pleasing to his Father. He was pleasing because he followed the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible talks so much about that he spent time with the Lord seeking God. He went after what he wanted him to do. He was given the Spirit without measure. Praise the Lord. But we know that he was led by the Spirit, and so he was pleasing to God. The things that he did, he could say they were pleasing to God because they were the things that the Lord, the Spirit, told him to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we have no other way than faith. We must live by faith. But in order to be led by God, you have to have fully trust. You have to fully trust in that leading. See, because God will always lead you into things that don't make any sense. He leads us all the time. The directions of God in the Bible, the commandments of God, half of them don't make any sense to us naturally. Praise the Lord. It doesn't make any sense to give of yourself. Praise the Lord. Not unless you know you're getting something directly in return. Like if you work a job, that's easy to know because you get a paycheck. But would you continue working a job if they stopped paying you? No, absolutely not. Most people wouldn't, praise the Lord. But God isn't a job. God will demand us to do things, and we need to do them regardless of whether or not we want to, whether or not we feel like it, whether or not we think we can. See, the truth is when God said to do something, you do it because he said to do it. That's trusting God. That's the one who will have the power of God. Why could Jesus heal the eyes of the blind and why could he heal the deaf? Because he had trust in God. He fully trusted God. Whatever God said do, he did it. Amen. And he was fully led by his Spirit. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. So we are going to turn, amen, to Hebrews 11:5. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Faith. It's God's way. Amen. There is no other way, folks, than to live by faith. And that's complete trust in God. Complete trust in the methods that he's given us to prosper. The method is he's given us to ensure that we get into that plan. People love Jeremiah 29:11 because they love the idea that God's got a good plan for them. But see, the thing that they always forget about is Jeremiah 29:11 is completely tied and attached to your obedience to the word, your obedience to God. You will never walk in God's plan if you're not obedient. Amen. And so you must be of faith in order to do so. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 11:5, it says, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, notice that it said before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. I want to stop there for a second and want to point out something to you. Notice this, that before Enoch had a testimony, he had a testimony. Before he had the testimony of victory, and before he had the testimony of being taken, praise the Lord. Now, when it means being taken, we see he did not see death. So God didn't kill him. God took him. There's a huge difference. And see, a lot of people don't understand this. They don't understand. Most people are out there believing that God takes people. If you still believe that God takes people, you believe wrong. I said you believe wrong, because that's not what the word says. Here we see that he took him, but he took him without death. Enoch didn't, he never saw death. He just wasn't found. He disappeared. He was gone. See ya. Adios, Chuck. Praise the Lord. He was gone. He was out of there. Amen. Praise the Lord. But before he had that testimony of just being taken, because that's the victory, he didn't even see death, right? Praise God, hallelujah. Before he had that testimony, he had another testimony that he pleased God. See, before you get the testimony that you're after, you have to be able to give the testimony that God's after. The testimony that God's after is that you are pleasing to him. Amen. This is why, see, people, they want the power of God all the time. They talk about, oh, let's have revival. And they'll even have their fake revivals. They'll have, I'm not saying all revivals are fake, but they'll have their made up revivals. They'll have nights of revival where they get together and there's no real revival, because are the lame walking? Praise the Lord. Are the blind healed? Are they seeing? Are the deaf? Are they hearing now? You know, are the dead coming back to life? I mean, this is what the revival the Bible talks about. Praise the Lord. And it says we need to see greater revival. People want to see those things, but they don't even trust that those things can even happen anymore. Praise the Lord. So if they can't trust that those things can even happen anymore, then how could they possibly trust God in anything else? And we see this, that without that testimony of pleasing God, you aren't going to have a testimony of the greater power. Jesus had a testimony of power because he had a testimony of pleasing God. God knew that he pleased him before he even did anything, because the way Jesus lived his life in the shadows, the way he lived his life up until that point of time was pleasing to his heavenly Father, because he no doubt spent time with him. Praise the Lord. You know, even when they found Jesus, when they couldn't find him when he was young, remember they lost him for a few days, and they come back and they find Jesus in the temple. He said, well, you know, basically he said, why are you troubled? Don't you know I must be about my Father's business? 12 years old. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So even at 12, he knows enough to listen to God, to follow God, to be about God's business, not his own business. And this is why he was pleased. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do you know it took faith just for Jesus to come? It took faith for Jesus to receive the fact that he was the Son of God and that he was going to do the things that he was going to do. See, we all just think, well, Jesus, well, he came as a man. And when he was here, praise the Lord, he had to realize that he was the Son of God, and he had to be okay with that, even though that there was many people that were going to come against him and tell him he wasn't. Amen? Praise the Lord. When we go on, verse 6, of course, we know the scripture, but it's good. It goes on to say, but without faith it is impossible to please him. Mm-hmm. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. Now, what stood out to me about the scripture today, and I don't know as though I've ever really, this has stood out to me like this before, but is the word comes. For he who comes to God must believe. Amen. Now, that word comes is literally the word to draw near. Amen. Praise the Lord. There are some who say that they know God, but have never known his power. Those are people who have never drawn near to God. See, if you drew near to God, you would know his power. Because you cannot draw near to God and not know his power. How can I say that? Because in the scripture, every time somebody comes near to God, every time somebody was in the presence of God, it was always marked by the power of God infiltrating their life. Paul, when he came near to God, he wasn't even planning on it, but when he came near to God, fell to the earth and was blinded by the light. Glory to God. I'm not going to sing the song, but he was blinded. Hallelujah. You know, we see in the temple when the power of God came in, when the Spirit of God came in, which is the power of God, when it came into the temple, that the priests fell out on the floor in the Spirit. They couldn't stand anymore. Why? The power of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. When Jesus said, I am he, when they came to arrest him in the garden, all the soldiers fell out on the ground, praise the Lord. The power of God, amen. When the power of God is present, something is shaken, something is seen, amen. So when it says he who comes to God, it's not just talking about somebody who kind of, you know, I'm going to come to God today, or I'm going to come. No, this is talking about somebody who actually comes to God, who draws near to God, to that place of power, somebody who would see the power of God. How do we know this? Because this entire chapter is about people who have come near to God. This entire chapter is about people who lived in such faith that they saw the power of God in their lives, that their lives were forever changed, and the lives of the people around them were forever changed because of the very power of God. Hallelujah. So we understand that not everybody who goes to church, not everybody that sits in the church service somewhere in America or anywhere else in the world, just because you come into church does not mean you get to see the power of God. That is not coming to God. You must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. The ones who diligently seek Him are the ones who see the power of God. And the ones who diligently seek Him are not the ones who run for the hills cowering because some is going on in life, something that they didn't expect, something that they didn't see coming. Oh my God, what are we going to do now? I'm going to tell you what we're going to do now. We're going to do the same thing we were always supposed to do, and we're going to live in the power of God. We're going to live by not bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. And if God says that we go through to the other side, then by God, we go through to the other side. We don't stay here on this side of it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And again, I say to you, this is not an excuse for Christians to go out and try to pretend to be in faith and be some kind of great Christian in faith and doing all kinds of things with a pandemic. That's not what that this is talking about. Amen? Praise the Lord. Because we see even God using and taking people of faith and putting them in hiding. Jesus Himself was put into hiding. I said was put into hiding. I said Jesus Himself, a man full of faith, full of the Spirit. No one had greater faith than Jesus. And it says that the Lord hid him. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God to protect him. Yeah. Moses, by faith in the great faith chapter here, we read about Moses. Hidden. Yeah. Well, wait a minute. That's not faith. It most certainly can be if it's led by the Spirit of God. Yeah. But see, if you're not a child of God, if you're not somebody who's led by the Spirit of God, you won't know what to do. Yeah. You're just going to act like everybody else. And so that's what I believe is happening with this pandemic. Although, again, I will say it again, God did not cause the coronavirus. He did not unleash it on people, on humankind. But I'm telling you right now that this is going to do a shaking. It has caused a shaking. And what we are going to see is that which remains. We're going to see the things that are still attached. We're going to see the things that are still strong, the things that haven't given up on God, the ones that aren't moved. Amen. Glory to God. I am not going to be changed from my life. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying my lifestyle won't change. Inevitably, it will. Every time something big happens, our lives change. We know that. Yeah. Who cares? Yeah. My God didn't change. That's right. Praise the Lord. And if my contentment is found in God, then it doesn't matter. Well, it's just the truth. I don't know if you believe it. Praise the Lord. I believe you do. Praise the Lord. So there are some that say they know God, but they have never known His power. They don't believe in His power. And that's exactly what the word says we'll see in the end times. That people who will have a form of godliness, they'll have a cross on the door. They might wear priestly garb. They may look a certain way. They might carry around a Bible, but they deny the power of God. Yeah. Listen, we don't deny the power of God. Praise the Lord. If your seeking God consists of, oh no, we're in trouble, what do? Then you have not diligently sought Him. If you get to a place, see, diligently seeking Him is a lifestyle. It's not something that you do once something happens. And this is where so many Christians are at. They wait till something happens, and then all of a sudden they're like, well, wait a minute. I didn't want my life to change like this. Well, what am I going to do? What are we going to do? Right. Praise the Lord. The ones who are saying, what are we going to do, are the ones who never trusted in God. They're ones that have never drawn near to God. Amen. One of the things that I did early on in this, and I thank God for the Spirit of God moving on me to do this, to cause me to do this, because it certainly wasn't in my own accord, but was I put it all before God and I said, Lord, this is all yours anyways. This is all your work. So you got to take care of it. When we come back, praise the Lord, I'll see what's standing. Yeah. And praise the Lord, I'll know if it's God's or not. Amen. Yeah. Or I'll have direction on where to go. Praise God. But most people, they're seeking God literally consists of, oh no, I'm in trouble. I better go to God and pray. Yeah. Listen, if you go to God and pray because you're in trouble, you've already missed God. You've already missed your answer. Yeah. Your answer came ahead of time. Yeah. That's why God has us congregate together. That's why he has church. That's why he has people do the things of God. Why? Because when we do these things, we get prepared. Everything that God has been preparing in me, he's been preparing my churches for. Yes. Everything that is coming, God has prepared us already. That's why he's had us on faith. That's why he's had us on contentment, these things that I've been preaching. That's why he's been talking to me about it, so I talk to you about it. So when the stuff happens, you look at each other and say, hey, we've already got our answer. We don't need to go seek God. You ain't got to go seek God when you... Listen, if you are spiritual... I'm just going to say something. Might just really throw a... might pet your cat backwards. Amen? Praise the Lord. The truth of the matter is, if you are consistently with the Lord, you don't need to seek him in times of trouble. You don't need to go find him because you know right where he's at. Praise the Lord. That's what I love about following God. I don't. If you follow God, and I can be better at it too. I'm not saying I can't. But the better that we get at it, it doesn't matter what happens to us because we already know. If we just say this, like trouble happens, okay, Lord, I know you know my answer. Even if you don't know it in that moment. The Bible does say if anyone lacks wisdom, praise the Lord. But it doesn't say if anyone lacks direction, does it? The Bible tells us the steps of a righteous person or of a good man, his steps are ordered of the Lord. The Bible instructs us to be in order. He said, if any of you lacks wisdom, seek the Lord, who gives to all men liberally, right? Praise the Lord. But it doesn't say, it never says seek the direction of God. Seeking is not like from that standpoint. The direction of God is supposed to be sought all the time on a continual basis. Are you seeking God continually? That's what your job is supposed to be. Amen? Praise the Lord. Not after the fact. Well, praise the Lord. Turn with me to Matthew 15:7. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is still God. He has not fallen off his throne. He's just as good as he ever was. Praise the Lord. Matthew 15:7. Hypocrites! Praise the Lord. Jesus said this. Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Now, women, that applies to you too. If you want all the other stuff, you got to take that one too. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you deserve all the other stuff, but you deserve this one too. Amen. What comes out of a person is what defiles them. And what he's saying is the doctrines of man, the commandments, our teaching is the commandments of man, the commandments of God, the doctrines of man. This is all the churchy stuff that we make rules and regulations and denominations on, that we come up with, oh, this is the way we do things because this is the way we've done things, and not about what the word actually says. People get off, they get directed wrong, they follow that, and they look like they have godliness. They sit there and they sing their praise songs. Praise the Lord. They sit there and have their worship services. They pray to God. They draw near with their lips. But they deny them and deny him by what they do. See, what comes out of them is not the spirit, because they're not spirit. What comes out of them is flesh. Every time that a church makes a decision based in the flesh and not based in the spirit, that's what comes out of them, and that's what defiles them. And if you have enough of that stuff coming out, it'll defile and defile and defile to the point where once great religions are now religions today, there's many, and I could name them, but there's many religions that today I would tell somebody, you would do better to stay at home than ever step foot in that place. Why? Because it's preaching the exact opposite of the word. The word doesn't change just because man does. Praise the Lord. The word stays the same. When it says something's wrong, it means it's wrong. It doesn't mean now it can be acceptable because this is 2020. Praise the Lord. No, it doesn't change. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's just the truth. What comes out of a man, amen? And when you are pressed, you're going to find what's on the inside of you. Because when you're pressed, that's what whatever's on the inside of you is what comes out. So think about it, folks. In these last few weeks, when all this stuff has really gotten hot, when it's really been, the pressure has been turned up, what's been coming out of us? what's been coming out of our mouths. I'm not talking about when we're in public and we're sitting there talking to our other brothers and sisters and we're trying to be super spiritual. I'm talking about when you're at home. I'm talking about when you're there. What's coming out of your mouth? What's coming out? Now, did all of a sudden God fall off his throne by what you're saying? If all of a sudden you don't believe the things that you were so boldly professing? I had to repent for this kind of stuff. Now, I'm not saying everything. I'm not saying I was completely in a lack of faith. But what my point is I had to repent this week because I had realized that I had gotten myself out of contentment. I was mad because I couldn't go do the things that I wanted to do. Yeah. God says, so your contentment is in that? Your contentment is in those things that you wanted to do? You can't just find your contentment in me? You can't be content where you're. How are you ever going to do anything? Let me ask you that. I'll ask you the same thing that came to me. How are you going to ever do anything major for God and have it be opposed if you can't find contentment in God and only God? Because I'm going to tell you right now, everything that you do for God will be opposed. Everything you do right, the devil is not just going to let you walk out there and conquer the world. He's not going to do it. He's going to oppose you, and he's going to make sure that your family opposes you. He's going to make sure your friends oppose you. He might make sure that your spouse opposes you. But God, the devil is going to throw all kinds of things, your children, all kinds of things to try to stop you from doing what you know to do. Yeah. Praise the Lord. But you got to follow God. When you're oppressed, what comes out is the truth. It's your truth. Praise God. Do praises come out of you? Does singing come out of you? Does rejoicing come out of you? Or does sadness, does anger, does wrath? Amen. Selfishness. All these things. Look what the world produces. I'm just telling you the truth. Man, they said that things could get tight and all of a sudden everybody buys up toilet paper. People buy more toilet paper than they need, not even caring if anybody else can wipe their butts. I'm just telling you the truth. What is that? It's all self-motivated. Listen, you don't need toilet paper for the next 3 years. They'll make more. Yeah. Glory to God. But somebody, I love my wife. She went to the store the other, we went to, it wasn't the store, it was a quick fill. We stopped at, get gas, and she ran in to grab a drink. And when she was there, they had hand sanitizer, a couple bottles of hand sanitizer. And we're like, wow, you haven't seen that stuff since, praise the Lord. We haven't barely seen that in 2020, right? What's hand sanitizer? We're going to have to tell our kids about this thing called hand sanitizer because they're never going to know what it is. Amen? But she finds some hand sanitizer, 2 bottles of it. She could have bought 2 bottles of it. We definitely probably would use it. Amen? It wasn't like they're big. They were like the sample sizes, you know what I mean? But she bought one. She left one for somebody else. Why? Because that's what a person who isn't just full of themselves does. My wife isn't just full of herself. Amen? Praise the Lord. People are out there, they're just hoarding everything, just trying to, what is that? That's the world acting like the world acts. Yeah. But you know what? You got Christians doing the same thing. Right. I'm not saying don't be prepared. I'm not saying supply. Praise the Lord. Not to build up a supply or whatever. But these kinds of things shouldn't take us from off guard either. Amen. We shouldn't be living so comfortably in our flesh. See, what it is that the world has been so comfortable in its flesh. The United States, Americans have been so comfortable, even the people in the churches have been so comfortable in their own flesh that, listen, if I just need to go to the store every day and pick something up, I can do that. But you're not guaranteed that store, there's nowhere in the scriptures promises you the store is going to be open tomorrow. Nowhere in scripture promises you that. Promises you if you follow the Spirit, you'll be all right. Amen. But you know what I mean? People get so comfortable in the life that they live that when it gets upset or changed a little bit, now they don't know what to do. And that's proof positive that their faith is in that life. Their faith isn't in God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. When you are pressed, the truth comes out. And I think that God is allowing people to be pressed to reveal what you need to fix and what I need to fix, amen? What the church needs to get right, what we need to get straightened out, praise the Lord. Turn with me to 1 Peter. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter 1. Thank the Lord for sermons.com. Freesermons.com. Praise the Lord. I don't even know if that exists, but 1 Peter 1, verse 3 through 7. Glory to God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy, God's got abundant mercy. He's got abundant mercy today, just as much as he did 2,000 years ago. Praise the Lord. Who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. Everybody say living hope. That means you live it. You have a living. You can have a living expectation through God's mercy that everything is going to be all right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you follow God, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Praise the Lord. Who are kept by the power of God, who are kept by the power of God. That means currently. You are kept by the power of God through what? Faith for salvation. Faith for salvation is faith that God will always get you through to the other side. That no matter the storms that rise, why did Jesus didn't necessarily have any leading necessarily. I'm not saying he did or didn't. The Bible doesn't say. He didn't necessarily have any specific leading that there would be a storm and that there could be opposition. But Jesus knew that that when he got into the boat and he said, let's go to the other side because he was led by the Spirit, doesn't mean that the Spirit told him there'd be a storm. But Jesus slept because he knew it didn't matter if there was a storm. There will be storms. It doesn't matter if there's a storm. You're in a storm. It doesn't matter if there's storms. There's a virus. It doesn't matter if there's a virus. God didn't change. God isn't any less God than he was then. Amen. Who are kept by the power of God through salvation or through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That what? The genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. What we are supposed to be found doing is praising, honoring, and glorying at the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is that we are kept by his power, praise the Lord, by faith, to salvation, through salvation, amen? This is how we are kept, amen? We are not, listen, the pandemic is no less, God's power is flowing no less in your life because there's opposition now than there was before. The same answers are always the same answers. Do you live by faith? Do you live trusting in God? Are you constantly afraid? Now listen, there can be a fine line sometimes. Listen, we don't just go out and purposely touch every, you know, it's like I said, you know, we're not out licking shopping cart handles. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. But if we need to use a shopping cart, we're probably going to be fine. That doesn't mean that we're going, you know, if you get all of a sudden around somebody who happened to have it, doesn't mean that you go out and be stupid, but it doesn't mean you start freaking out either. You stay in faith. Amen? Because God's power will keep you. Amen? Praise the Lord. But that, again, I'm going to say this again, is not a license to go out and be foolish. It is not a license to go out there and test God, to tempt God. Amen? This is not what we're called to. But we see this, that the genuineness of our faith will be tested and is being tested. What is your faith really? Your faith will never, and whatever it is, if you say, I have faith in finances, praise the Lord. I always knew somebody who was, I knew somebody who was wealthy. He used to preach about finances. And we always thought it was funny because somebody who is wealthy, just naturally wealthy, they have no business preaching about finances. Not unless they got it through believing God. Do you know what I'm saying? Because it's easy to preach when you, it's the same thing about people who want to talk about kids until they actually have kids. Amen. You have no business to tell anybody else how to raise kids until you've raised kids. And if you had, if you haven't raised a teenager, you have no business talking about that. If you haven't raised a three-year-old, you have no business talking about it. It's just the truth. Because people say whatever they want. But if you haven't done it, you don't know. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you don't know what, if you've had one kid, you can have no business talking about how to raise two. Amen. And so this is the way, I mean, obviously there's certain principles in the word that we can talk about, but you can't know each and every situation of anything until you know, until you've experienced it yourself. Until faith has been proven in you, it isn't faith at all. Because if it hasn't been tested, you don't know if it's really faith or not. It is easy to say, well, I'm just going to stand on the word and I'll be fine through any storm. It's a whole nother thing to stand in the storm when it's happening. And what I've found as a pastor is that most times people buckle under the first wind. Yeah. That's the truth. Why? Because they don't actually build it in themselves. But that's what we need to do. And that's what we're encouraging to do. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to close here. John 14:1. Praise the Lord. John 14:1. I love that this section of scripture in my book, in my Bible, says the way, the truth, and the life. Of course, this is a section where Jesus talks about that. But we're going to focus on verse 1, thinking about that this is the way, the truth, the life. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Amen. Let not your heart be troubled. Just because there's things going on in the world doesn't mean have right to be troubled. Doesn't mean that we have now right to relax our faith, to back off of things. No, this is a time when we press more into it. This is a time when we stand stronger. This is because this is what, folks, this is what's going to happen. There's going to be people out there, they're going to see people, Christians that stand strong, and they're going to see Christians that fold. Which ones do you think they're going to flock to? Praise the Lord. And it might not be tomorrow. It might not be the day after. Maybe it'll be when the next pandemic happens. Maybe it'll be when the next see this church standing strong through it all, then when they see the right ones standing strong through it all, then they're going to know where the power of God is, and that's what they're going to be drawn to. It was the power of God that always drew people to him. I said it was the power of God that always drew people to him. Do not be deceived and think that it'll be any less in the end days. A church that does not preach about the power of God is a church that is a detriment to the kingdom of God. They are doing no good. They are bearing no fruit. I don't care what they do. I don't care how many people they feed or what they do. If a church doesn't preach the power of God, if it doesn't live in the power of God, if it doesn't teach people how to live in the power of God, it's no church at all. Yeah.